Hello, welcome to this other episode of the NALO podcast, where we simplify, disseminate, and analyze the Ugandan laws. Today we are discussing, or we are analyzing the Ugandan budget 2023. And today we are going to make some changes, and that is the lawyers are going to be discussing this at the same time hosting the podcast. Have fun as you're listening. Thank you so much. My name is Daisy Kavura.
Hi, Joel.
Hi, Ronald.
Welcome.
Thank you. Thank you.
Well, this is the first of its kind.
Oh, sure, sure.
And hopefully the first of many more. So just to give us a bit of context, Parliament recently approved the budget for the financial year 2023 to 2024. The theme of the budget is very clear. The government intends to focus on full monetization of the economy through commercialization of agriculture, industrialization, and digital transformation.
That's true.
But before we delve into the nitty-gritties of the budget, I wish to state the following. One, the economy has grown from 4.6% last year to 5.5% this year. I think that only means increased investment and increased flow of income or cash in the economy. It's also worth noting that the size of the economy has also grown from approximately 162.9 trillion last year to 184.3 trillion this year. Again, that means increased business.
That's true.
Yeah, that's true. It's also interesting to highlight the inflation rate and interest rate at the moment. For the inflation rate, we have seen a decline from 10.7% as of October last year to 6.2% as of May this year. It clearly shows that the currency is gaining momentum in terms of value. Then we have also seen an increase in the commercial bank lending rates from 18.8% in April last year to 19.3% as of April this year. Then perhaps it's also important to say this, that in preparation of this conversation, we read and internalized the president's budget speech, which give us an indication of where the government intends to place its weight or inertia in as far as budget allocation and fiscal strategy is concerned. I think a clear theme from the president's speech is debt sustainability. How do we reduce Uganda's debt burden? From the records that we have reviewed, we see that last year the public debt stood at 80 trillion Uganda shillings. So one of the strategies to improve on debt sustainability is creation of new sources of financing, such as climate and green financing, as well as leveraging private equity for infrastructure investments, as well as scaling up of public and private sector partnerships. We also see the intention of the government to roll out mobile money platforms for investing in government treasury bills and bonds, as well as creation of new bonds like infrastructure bonds to allow government invest in infrastructure projects. So it is really against this backdrop that I ask the first question. From your understanding and review of the budget, what are some of the key opportunities that the farm should be mindful of?
Oh, thank you, Ronald, for that for those introductory remarks. I think really for people in the legal profession, in this case the farm, it's key to note that there are a number of opportunities that have been created by this budget of the financial year 2023-2024. But for purposes of today's discussion, I'll zero down to four that I believe are a bit lucrative and that are worth paying attention to for we in the legal services business.
All right.
The first opportunity that is presented by this budget, Ronald, is the construction of the Malaba Kampala standard gauge railway, which is anticipated to commence in this financial year, actually, that to which this budget is attached. And you get to realize that from their location and from the theme that is monetization of the economy, you get to realize that the government has allocated 535 billion.
Oh, that's a large sum of money.
That's no doubt. It is quite a large sum. And this is an opportunity in the sense that with the construction of this standard gauge railway, there will be the various stakeholders therein will need advisory services, first of all, as they engage with other key players. They will need contracts in place, and also as the implementation takes course, you'll get to realize that disputes may arise, and this no doubt speak to opportunities for a firm to tap into resolving some of the disputes between the parties.
I think just to hold it there, because whenever there are infrastructure projects, I normally hear of a displacement of people, compensation issues, and phrases like PAPs and RAPs. I don't know if you could throw more light on them and what they would mean for the farm in regards to the standard gauge railway project.
Sure, you get to realize that with such a construction project, usually it entails acquisition of land, because most of the land may not be government land, and this land belongs to the citizens, to individuals, some to entities. And usually when government has identified that this is where a specific, say maybe the railway is going to pass, you'll have to acquire. And those persons who own that land become the PAPs. They are the project affected persons. And oftentimes you get to realize that there is a lot of, at times there's a lot of grievance and disgruntlement that arises, say maybe in terms of compensation, in terms of the manner and procedure that is used to acquire this land. And this people often opt to take legal action against some of these stakeholders that are spearheading the projects.
Thank you very much. On that point, maybe perhaps to supplement, when you look at the fiscal strategy in the budget of 2023 to 2024, the government is very clear that it wants to set up a fund for land acquisition, which would help with compensation of affected persons. But then we also see that the government is looking towards implementation of projects that do not have encumbrances because of past experiences, and for obvious reasons, being, you know, the hefty compensation figures that are normally discussed. So I absolutely agree with you that this is indeed a golden nugget for the farm, in as far as infrastructure and construction is involved, looking at the arm of a dispute resolution that may arise from that. But lastly on this point, I want to inquire, you did mention stakeholders involved in this sector. In your assessment, who are the key stakeholders that the farm needs to be mindful of?
Thank you for this standard gauge railway project that the government is going to take on, some of the key stakeholders that the farm needs to get close to and see how to relate with and see how to contact more are Uganda Railway Authority, who are just our neighbors adjacent this side at railway station, and then also there is Ministry of Transport and Works. A key to note also is also the other international construction firms that often are hired to provide more expertise and skill to execute these projects. Then moving on to the other opportunity that is presented by this financial budget is the construction of the 761 kilometer transmission lines and the associated power substations, which are intended to improve the stability and reliability of the electricity networks within the country. And you get to realize that government in this budget has allocated a huge sum of 1.3 trillion just to facilitate these projects. And they are indefinitely opportunities that are created for the farm, because with such a construction, as earlier on noted, there will be contracts that will need to be executed between the various stakeholders, but then also there will be disputes that will arise in terms of compensating maybe the project affected persons. And so this creates a pathway for the firm to step in and be able to intervene for some of the parties that are at grievance, that are at a dispute, that are at conflict, and therein definitely the firm benefits. And just so you know, that some of the key players in the transmission lines and generally the electricity sector, we have the Electricity Regulatory Authority. We also have the UETCL, Uganda Electricity Transmission Company, which is even a client to the firm. And so really, there is opportunity for the firm to leverage on these existing relationships and be able to tap more from these projects.
I agree with that assessment.
And so I would love to draw your attention to the third project, to the third opportunity that we see that is evident in this budget. And that is the move by government to fast track the development of the petroleum resources, this case being the oil and gas. You get to realize that the oil conversation has been one that has been ongoing. But government has been deliberate this year to fast track its development. And to that effect, it has allocated 192 billion to fast track the development of these resources, to see to it that before 2025, Uganda is able to export some of its oil. And definitely with such upcoming projects, opportunities are created for the firm.
I agree that oil normally comes with opportunities, but just for clarity, which stakeholders are we looking at in as far as this field is concerned?
For the petroleum sector, some of the key stakeholders that we ought to be looking at to and also be able to relate more with, the UNOC, Uganda National Oil Company, then also there is Ministry of Energy and Mineral Development, and then also the other multinational oil petroleum companies, for example, Total, those that are able to get into this business of petroleum. They need to be able to buttress and also forge relationships with them and be able to tap opportunities from them.
Yeah, but then on that point, I think my understanding is that these firms are going to need advisory services, they're going to need drafting of contracts, and it's also possible that disputes could arise, and we already represent clients like UNOC, so it would be interesting to see how we maximize those opportunities.
That's true. So I think really that it's incumbent upon the firm to buttress these existing relationships, because that is how we can be able to know what's happening there and get business, and also be able to present ourselves as a key player within the petroleum sector of Uganda. And then the last opportunity that I would love to draw your attention to that is created by this budget is the development of the digital sector, because you get to realize that the government has allocated a very huge sum towards to accelerate digital transformation, specifically to expand the optic fiber network and also establish more Wi-Fi zones within the country. And definitely, it's no doubt that such projects require advisory services, they require contracts, and again, those are clear opportunities for which the firm cannot be disregarded or put aside, because there is need for legal expertise as some of these works are being executed and so on.
I think what I really understand and pick from the digital transformation strategy is that this is not just about Uganda, because at a continental level, we are seeing the AU digital transformation strategy being rolled out. Then internationally, we've also seen agencies such as the USAID very keen on digital transformation. But we are already experiencing the ripple effects of digital transformation through artificial intelligence. So my understanding is the firm would also need to start aligning some of its practice areas, for instance, smart contracts, and also being able to understand the whole ecosystem in as far as digital transformation is concerned, in order to better advise government and the relevant stakeholders in this place, such as NITA, Uganda, and other multinational partners that would be interested in achieving success in this regard.
I agree with you absolutely, because I mean, there's huge sums of money that has been allocated to just accelerate the digital transformation in our country.
Yeah, thank you very much, Joel. From what I really gather, you've highlighted snippets of opportunities that arise from the budget, but I believe the elephant in the room is, how then does the firm position itself and realign its strategies in order to tap into these massive opportunities?
Thank you. Just from our previous discussion, you get to realize that huge sums of money have been channeled towards the construction sector. And so as a firm, I think really first there is need for us to buttress and further develop the existing relationships with some of the clients in the course in these sectors. For example, UTC Health, there is need to see how to further improve our relationship with them, because I mean lots of sums of money are being channeled to transmission, construction of the transmission lines. But then also for some of those key players for which we have no existing relationships, there is need to really establish, because they are in, can we be able to tap and obtain some of the key business, some of the big businesses from them. And so there is need to do things like trainings with some of them. For example, railways who are neighbors, there is need to be able to establish, so we can opt to say maybe organize a training with them on how to handle some of the projects, project management, and share with them some of the compliance aspects in terms of it, when it comes to acquisition of land for some of these projects to pass through. Yeah, that is one of the ways I see the firm can be able to tap into the opportunities.
I think I agree with you 100% on that point, because if I may speak for the dispute resolution, we have had this strategy this year where we've had client visits, and the client visits have helped us understand the needs of our clients, where they are focusing on this year. So I really believe that if we pursue this strategy more aggressively, we shall be able to strengthen and buttress the existing relationships and demonstrate our competence, that we are the right people to advise our clients as they seek to implement some of the strategies that you have highlighted. And for those that we do not have under our clientele, it would certainly be a good opportunity to have a training on compliance issues, like you mentioned, which would help us demonstrate competence and also ensure that we are able to competitively get the legal service business.
Then also to add on what you have highlighted, still as a way to tap into the businesses, I think there is need for the firm to increase visibility in some sectors. For example, the petroleum and oil sector, there is need for the firm to increase visibility, to be able to interface more with the key stakeholders there. And this may call for more attending of more workshops that bring together these people in the petroleum sector. And also be able to publish more articles, write more articles in regard to the petroleum and oil sector that can be shared with the key players there and also the public. This, in a way, increase visibility and draw the attention of the key players to the firm as a potential legal service provider for them.
Joel, thank you very much. It's been a pleasure hosting you on the podcast.
Well. Thank you so much for being part of the journey as we analyzed the Ugandan budget 2023. Hope you had fun, as lawyers were actually hosting at the same time analyzing the topic. Hope you had fun and of course understood each and every bit of the discussion. And of course, I hope you enjoyed. Till next time, my name is Daisy Kavura. Nalo, no the law.